WNST, Tassin Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, still broadcasting in hi-fi mono sound at AM 1570 at WNST in Towson. We're going to be doing the Maryland Lottery Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away twice this month. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday morning. We thought maybe if the U.S. had beat the Dutch, we'd have to move that thing. We've got some great guests. Dan Roderick's going to come down after his unbelievable show. I hope he takes it out on the road all over town and plays it more often. Baltimore, you have no idea. And I had no idea how good the show was going to be on Friday night. So kudos to my old workmate, Dan Roderick, who will join us on Friday. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation as well. You buy two, you get two free throughout the holidays, 866-90-NATION. And, of course, next week I have decided, because it's our 31st anniversary on next Tuesday, that on Friday we're going to come together with all of our friends from the rock and roll and the old Hammerjacks community. Gina Schock from the Go-Go's is a Hall of Famer. We're going to have a Hall of Famer at Casas and Dundalk for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next Friday. We're putting that together. John Allen, a whole bunch of friends, a whole bunch of rock and roll people. I don't even want to get out in front of it because – it's football week around here, and we're winning football games. Luke Jones joins us now. Hope you read my columnists on the aftermath. Luke will be trickling in with all sorts of thoughts on the backside of the game. But the first thought is, how's Lamar doing, Luke? Because, like, that's everything, right? Like, as quick as Lamar can get up, this team will have a chance again. And that's not to dissuade a Snoop from doing what he did on Sunday, but Sunday was a sort of a breathtaking win in a lot of ways because people will remember that one.
Yeah, and it's reality that Lamar Jackson's health is all that matters right now. Look, they won 10-9. Time is going to tell whether the Ravens actually won on Sunday or not. I mean, that's just the truth. We can talk about Tyler Huntley, who certainly did what he needed to do on the final drive of the game. And that was great to see against a tough Denver defense. And we talked about this Denver defense going into Sunday's game that didn't expect the Ravens to just march up and down the field without any resistance. The defense holds Denver to three field goals, held the Broncos outside of the red zone. And what's funny about this is you look at Russell Wilson statistically, it was actually one of his better games of the year in terms of yards per passing attempt, QBR, but no touchdowns. Broncos, worst offense in the NFL in terms of scoring, and that continued on Sunday. So we can go through, you know, special teams, great kick coverage, and we saw that show up on a number of occasions throughout Sunday's game. But it comes back to the health of Lamar Jackson. How long is he going to be out? When, assuming he does return before season's end, and I think that's the expectation, what does he look like? And if this team is going to make a run, assuming it makes the playoffs, and I still think they'll make the playoffs, although certainly the AFC North complexion changed pretty dramatically on Sunday with Lamar's health and with what the Bengals did against Kansas City. But it comes down to, is Lamar Jackson going to be right? Is he going to be upright? Is he going to be mobile? And is this Ravens offense going to be able to right itself? And we just don't know those answers. Certainly didn't know those answers after the game on Sunday. And John Harbaugh and company wanted to dwell on the positive, which I get. It's an emotional game. It's the NFL. You never apologize for a win. But reality suggested Sunday was one of those days where we're going to have to find out whether this is a day that we'll remember because of a 10-9 win, or we'll remember because the Ravens season and their chances for doing something special in 2022 came to an end with all intents and purposes, if Lamar Jackson's not right the rest of the year. We just don't know, and going to be plenty of holding our breath and waiting for updates, and what kind of updates we'll see. But I'm guessing it's, at least for the next couple of weeks, probably going to feel very similar to what we looked at last year, which, you know, for me, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, even in victory, I think it's very difficult for the Ravens to fight off that feeling of deja vu. 51 weeks after Lamar hurt his ankle in Cleveland, which this was the last play of the first quarter. In that game, it was the first play of the second quarter. So, it was very eerie in that way. And I think it's really going to be a case where time's going to tell whether this was a nice win and a win to kind of keep themselves in position in the AFC North, or if this is going to be more of a beginning of the end kind of situation. We don't know, but that's reality when you're talking about the health of your franchise quarterback in early December.
It was a nice win. I mean, for what it was to come out of that game with a win, snatching defeat out of wins out of the jaws of defeat, because it was bleak. And let's game strategy a little bit. I mean, we'll get to James Prochet throwing the pass, which that needs to be gotten to, because that really happened. And that could have cost them the game. Things that could have cost them the game, fine. But things that could have won the game for the Broncos, I was just blown away that when it came to nut cut time for them with a couple minutes left to go in the game, they were trying to throw the bomb. Like, I don't know why they didn't try to really just grind it out and run the ball. All they needed was one field goal and they win the game, right? Literally, right? That's where they were. And I found their strategy to be very, very curious. Obviously, their coach is getting fired, right? I mean, that's pretty apparent. That thing's a mess. But there were other ways the Ravens could have lost that game on Sunday, including self-inflicted wounds, like throwing interceptions from backup wide receivers who've never thrown a pass in organized football, from what we understand.
Yeah, I mean, you really saw the reasons why, despite the fact that they have a top five defense, the Broncos are 3-9. Their offense has been awful. Russell Wilson has been bad. Certainly Nathaniel Hackett, as you mentioned, it's a matter. The only question is really whether he's going to survive the entire season, or he's going to get fired and put out of his misery by, you know, before Christmas, which I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, some people draw some comparisons, and I even heard a few of the Denver reporters. I overheard them in the press box after the game. They're kind of saying, well, Urban Meyer didn't make it through last year in Jacksonville, but there were circumstances beyond what was happening on the field that led to that with Urban Meyer, as far as, you know, just how he was conducting himself and what have you. I don't think Hackett's a bad guy in the way that you looked at some of the things that happened with Meyer and you know, really question what the heck was going on, but it's a disaster. And you have a football team that is averaging roughly 14 points. I think they're just under 14 points per game after what we saw on Sunday. I mean, this isn't 1976. That's ridiculous. You know, I mean, you know, we talk about some of the issues the Ravens have had offensively. I mean, it pales in comparison to what Denver's done, or what they haven't done, I should say. So you said it. I mean, it's a team that led for most of the game, and at times it felt like they needed to be more aggressive and they weren't. And then there were other times, like you said, where they're throwing deep balls when, you know,
dude, they were on the 48-yard line with 5.5 minutes left to go. Like, literally, two first downs there. They kick a field goal, Lamar, and Snoop gets the ball back at the 2-minute warning. Harbaugh would have to start burning timeouts. I mean, like, I don't know what they were doing. Like, when they threw the first bomb, I'm like, all right, fine. You're 2nd and 11. Get back in the huddle and let run the ball. Hit a swing pass. Do something. I was just blown away that they just allowed the Ravens to get the ball back with 5 minutes left to go and decided to punt. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said. They have no feel for the game right now whatsoever, the Broncos. You know, whether you're from coaching, Russell Wilson's had this issue all season long. At times, I felt they needed to be more aggressive. You know, like early in the game, they run in that third down and they try a 52-yard field goal. Now, McManus made it, but it was a case where, why are you running there? You know, I mean, don't you want to continue this drive rather than just settling for three? And then, as you mentioned, some times where it felt like it made more sense to, you know, be maybe not completely conservative, but at least be a different kind of aggressive than what we saw. And they're chucking deep balls. So it made no sense.
15 again, yards and they would have had a field goal, literally, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, but you just look at that team and they lost 10-9. They've lost games like that all year. You know, whether it's 13-10 or 14-13, 10-9, I think they, 12-9, they had a final score of that. So, I mean, that's where they've been. You know, their defense has been excellent. I think when you look at the Ravens, I mean, certainly you don't want to be in a position where you've scored 3 points as you're making your final drive of the game in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying that that's acceptable, but if you had told me Lamar Jackson goes down at the end of the first quarter and Snoop Huntley's their quarterback, I'm guessing against the Broncos defense, I'm going to say, well, they probably didn't score very many points. So that part of it's less surprising, but you know, the Ravens found a way. I don't want to sit here and say that this was an impressive win.
Dude,
it wasn't.
We can't pee on a victory. I mean, we're not going to do that, right? I mean, it's a victory.
But I'm not going to throw a parade about it either, is my point. My point is, this is what the Broncos have been all year. You know, people could say, well, and even John Harbaugh talking in the post-game press conference saying, well, that's still Russell Wilson over there. Is it?
Nah.
I mean,
nah.
this was like, as I said, this is one of his better performances of the year. That shows you how bad it has been for them. So I'm not saying that to be dismissive of the Ravens winning a football game. It just, it comes back to what we're going to continue to say throughout our conversations, not just as we're talking now, but until he's back on the field and we see he's right. It comes back to Lamar Jackson. It comes back to the state of this offense. It comes back to when he's going to be on the field and what he's going to look like whenever he is back on the field. And because that's what's paramount. I mean, we can talk about the passing game. We can talk about the lack of weapons on the offensive side of the football, which holds true, whether it's Huntley or Lamar Jackson at quarterback. But as I said on Sunday, it really, we'll look back at it and time is going to tell whether that was a win that kind of kept them on track and Lamar's back after, you know, one game, two games, whatever it ends up being, and they're fine and they still have a chance to make a run and get themselves going for January. Or if it's a case where he misses more time or he comes back and he's not right and it's a diminished version of Lamar Jackson physically, then we're going to say that the season, like I said, it was kind of that game where you're going to look back and say, yeah, things kind of ended right there and then. But as I alluded to, it's nice to get the win. You know, I think as much as you're going to have that feeling of deja vu and here we go again, unlike last year where the Ravens had already lost the week before at Pittsburgh, they lost that day in Cleveland when Lamar Jackson got hurt, even though certainly Tyler Huntley gave them a chance in that football game. We know the Ravens didn't win again from the time Lamar got hurt. They at least have a win under their belt looking at it this time. But now you talk about the prospects of going on the road to AFC North games where I get it. It's Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Neither one of those teams have played all that well this year, but
the Ravens are not a better team than either one. Certainly not with Tyler Huntley, right?
I mean,
like
that's
you look at them and say, how much better are the Ravens than the Steelers 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago? How much better than they were they than Jacoby Brissett and the Browns when the Browns can run the ball and can't play defense? All the same issues are there, except I'm seeing a better version of the Cleveland team with a quarterback now. I'm seeing a better version of the Steelers team. At least they've worked with this kid a couple of weeks. They won a football game this week. And now the Ravens are the ones limping as we go into the holidays. It is, I think it's impossible, no matter how big of a fan you are, how big of a sycophant you are, or whether you're just a media guy like us looking at this Ravens team. And as I pointed out in my column is, the last time they played good football was when? When have they put together the kind of effort that is going to beat that 4 o'clock show I watched with Cincinnati and Kansas City, or watch what we saw with Buffalo the other night? When's the last time they looked like a playoff caliber, playoff winning football team? It's been a while, Luke. It really has been.
Yeah, and I think it's really what you said, the latter of what you said, a playoff winning caliber team. I mean, they're 8-4. Let's not diminish what they have accomplished. And I'm not saying that means that they're a serious top shelf Super Bowl contender, but they're a playoff team. You know, they're a division leading team right now.
They're 10-4 2 weeks from now, and they go and win in Pittsburgh and Cleveland. We're going to talk about them differently, right?
Well, it depends what it looks like. I mean, but you stack wins, you get wins. And that's where I will come back to, as much as we're talking about the big picture and Lamar's health and that being paramount here, which it still is. Yeah, you get wins. And you don't take that for granted because you do see what a team like the Denver Broncos looks like right now. I mean, as much as we were talking about Jacksonville, look what happened to them the following week. That shows how difficult it is to be consistent in this league, even if it's not a dominant consistent, if you're still finding ways to win games, which the Ravens have done. But to go back to your point, as far as when this team really looked top shelf in that way, I mean, we could go back to before the bye week. You know, the New Orleans performance was pretty complete, you know, if we're being honest. But again, competition, we're talking about the Saints. We're talking about the NFC South, you know. So for me, I really go back to, I mean, the first half of the Buffalo game, the late in the Cincinnati game. I mean, we're talking, this is late September, early October.
I don't remember them playing Cincinnati. I literally don't remember much of that game, to be honest with you.
I mean,
it feels like eons ago.
And well, it was, I mean, the Ravens weren't firing on all cylinders offensively at that point, and Cincinnati was really finding themselves, you know, or trying to find themselves at that point. But if you want to talk about the last time they really, like, it really felt like it was humming, I don't know. Do you go back to the New England game? I mean, you look at, they scored 37 points in that game. Remember, the defense forced all those takeaways in the fourth quarter. So,
I'll just say this to you about their team and their offense and Lamar's value and his money, okay? If Lamar doesn't look like Lamar, and I don't mean passing, because he's gonna overthrow, I get all, but his ability to shake and bake, his ability to go the distance on any play, if he doesn't have that in his legs, literally, if he doesn't have, it's like watching Russell Wilson run around and saying, oh, he's lost half a step. He suddenly looks like Johnny Unitas in San Diego, right? Like, that's what happens when you're a fast quarterback and you're not fast this week, right here, right now. Lamar looked fast in New Orleans. Lamar looked fast against Cincinnati. Lamar looked like a factor and a threat to take the ball to the house and break your legs every time. Gimping up the steps, the other, I don't. We've all had bad legs. He's playing professional football. To think that he's going to go be out juking the Steelers' safeties and linebackers in 5 days is, that's not realistic. I mean, for his wheels, and I think without his wheels, because we're talking about, when did the Ravens look great? They look great when Lamar can throw it or run it, and when he has people to throw it to and people to block for him so he can run it. So it's, for me, it starts with Lamar looking like Lamar, and I mean physically like Lamar. Because week to week, the passing could be in, it could be out, whatever. But if he's healthy, he's a hell of a threat. He's a $50 million quarterback when he's healthy. He hadn't been healthy in a little while. Now he's less than healthy. It's hard to like the Ravens right now. It would be hard to go onto my mobile wagering, get 200, buy five free right now at betnester.com. That if you do that, will anybody bet on the Ravens winning the Super Bowl today? I don't think so. And if the narrative is this thing turns around and they win a game or two and Lamar comes back and they go beat Buffalo, beat Kansas City, you and I are in Phoenix in 10 weeks, give or take, right? 8 weeks, 9 weeks, give or take. I that is such an unlikely narrative from where they are and that kid walking up into the locker room on Sunday. It feels like they're a long way away. To your point, it feels like, oh boy, the circling of the drain has begun, because that's what happens when Lamar's not healthy. Because when we talk about the last time they looked great, Lamar looked great. Lamar looked healthy. He looked spry. He looked fit. He looked fast, you know?
Yeah, no question about it. And I want to be clear, when you say circling the drain, that's when we're talking about it in terms of this team's Super Bowl aspirations. I mean, there are still a number of scenarios between the season being completely over and winning the Super Bowl that could occur that, I mean, they're 8-4. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose out like they did last year, even if Lamar doesn't come back for
They
several
better
weeks.
make the
But
playoffs.
yeah, I mean, yeah,
I'm worried
sure.
about that. These are road games in the division. Like, I mean, in any year,
Right.
and even if Cleveland had Spurgeon win and the Steelers had Tommy Maddox, I still would look at them and say, you got to go there and win, and you got to go win with half your team at this point. It's not the full complement of a Ravens team here. This is December football. I mean, you're not going to be healthy. You just have to hope your quarterback's healthy.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, you made the point about whenever Lamar is back on the field, whether it's by chance it's this week or next week or week after that, I mean, who knows? I mean, you're seeing a lot of the early speculation that we saw on Sunday evening. The David Chows of the Twitterverse, the medical types that look at video and try to analyze. They're talking about it being a PCL injury, which is the back of the knee. If you recall, that was actually the original Rashad Perriman injury his rookie year, which, that was something where it wasn't thought to be a season-ending injury at first, and we know how that went. So I'm not going to say that that's what it is, but if that means it's a tricky situation where, okay, Lamar Jackson after 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, is he healthy enough to play? Is that the same thing as him being fully mobile and fully explosive and fully healthy? That's a different animal. And that's where we go back to all the other concerns about this offense, whether you're talking about the lack of weapons in the passing game, whether you're talking about the health of the running backs. I mean, let's face it, Gus Edwards, since coming back, hasn't looked as promising as it looked when he first returned
He's looked
back
more like
in
Nick Boyle
October.
coming back, quite frankly, which is not as effective as what the other guy used to be.
Yeah. And But, you know, no Ronnie Stanley on the field. And what's J.K. Dobbins going to look like as he's back practicing now? I mean, there's just so many question marks that don't change whether it's Lamar or Tyler Huntley behind center. But it really is a case of with Lamar specifically. We talk about this all the time. Everything they do, whether you're talking about running backs carrying the ball, whether you're talking about receivers and their ability to get open, whether you're talking about the offensive line and their ability to run block or pass protect, it all comes back to what? The legs and the athleticism of Lamar Jackson. So if he comes back and he is not a 100% version of himself, and that's not to say that they're going to trot him out there if he can barely jog, you know, they're not going to do that, but to your point, there's no such thing as 100% in December and January. You know, all these guys are probably somewhere between 85 and 95 at this point. Now, there are very few guys in a locker room at this point in the season that are completely fully healthy. So what does that look like? And what does that mean for the rest of this offense? It means everything else becomes that much more difficult. Look, Tyler Huntley was 27 of 32 on Sunday. And, you know, he did some nice things when he absolutely had to at the end of the football game, but it's a different standard. You know, people make these comparisons because they expect the world out of Lamar. And when he's not playing at his absolute best, people will then see Tyler Huntley do some nice things relative to the lack of expectations for him. And then people start saying silly things like, oh, they're moving the ball better with Huntley. Well, they scored 10 points on Sunday. You know, I mean, let's just, you know, let's not shine it up to be more than what it is. And that's not a knock on Huntley. It's just, it tells you how different, how dramatically things change when you don't have number eight out there and he's not healthy and he's
not
right.
Yeah, and then the game ends and you sit there and watch Burrows and Mahomes go out there and look like the best in what they do.
And you're playing a different game.
We haven't been watching that the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, I mean, that what we saw, Kansas City and Cincinnati, and give the Bengals credit. I mean, they've won four straight now. They beat Tennessee on the road the previous week. I mean, I feel like the complexion of the AFC North, and I've been as guilty of this as anyone, thinking that, yeah, the Ravens are going to win this division. They have an easier schedule on paper. And I stressed on paper all along, because something like this happens to Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or whatever franchise quarterback you want to talk about. Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. We'll see what happens there, knowing he's done for the year. But it changes things. It changes things dramatically. And now you look at this thing and say, okay, the Ravens won. The Bengals won. They're tied in the AFC North. The Ravens still have a tiebreaker. They still have an easier schedule on paper, but boy, the complexion, the outlook of the division feels much different now than it did even at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And that's not to say that the Ravens still won't find a way to win this division. And that's not to say Cincinnati's going to win out. We don't know, but that feels very tenuous, you know, at best, to kind of look at that thing right now, not knowing when you're going to have Lamar Jackson back on the field. And that's just reality. And you know, the Ravens are going to have to try to hold down the fort and hope you get Lamar back sooner rather than later. And we'll see what happens from there.
All right, Luke's writing. I'm writing. You can find my columnists out at BaltimorePositive.com. Luke's going to be writing all sorts of things. You'll find our words, our deeds, getting us ready for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week at Fadley's. We're going to be next week at Costas, celebrating 31 years of Baltimore radio at AM 1570. And I got a new sponsor, Drug City, Dundalk Man. What do you look at that, Luke. You want one of these. I know you do. I know you need a Drug City hat and a fountain hat as well. Drug City with us since 1954. That's 14 more years than I've been around. Big appreciation to George and Chuck and everybody down there. Make sure you get down there and visit them. We'll be doing the Crab Cake Tour at Drug City yet again next year as well. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. Also want to give a shout out to Bill Cole and Cole Roofing and our friends here for providing our Royal Farms coffee in the cup. We're going to be getting ready for Pittsburgh all week. Luke's going to be making his way up to Breezewood. Lucky you, meeting Mr. Rooney's Roast and having those cookies there. So Pittsburgh, Baltimore, it is Pittsburgh week around here. We'll be talking to some folks in Pittsburgh as well. I'm sure Charlie Batch will be happy to chime in this week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.